This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
With a raise in the forecasted pork production last week, pork is now on pace to surpass beef for the first time since 1952. Reuters reports that would come at a surprising time as pork producers in the U.S. are recovering from the porcine epidemic diarrhea virus. As market data would point out, hog weights have increased during that time, even as PEDV has killed an estimated 8 million piglets. In the monthly World Agriculture Supply and Demand Estimates, the USDA raised the commercial pork production forecast for 2015 to 23.9 billion pounds. USDA projected 2015 beef output at 23.8 billion pounds, with a marginal upward revision from the September report at 2.3% decline versus last year's production. Hogs will become readily available as farms largely unaffected by the virus grow their herds, thanks largely to high-priced hogs and low-cost feed, according to Reuters. On the other hand, it will take at least 2 years, the time for a calf to reach slaughter weight, before cattle ranchers can expect a turnaround in the U.S. herd from a 63-year low after several years of drought-damaged crops. For a look at this week's livestock markets, I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman.
That's certainly something that the industry is seeing, and why the beef industry has been trying to fight over remaining supplies of cattle, trying to hang on to market share because they don't want to lose market share to the pork industry. But we're still seeing a beef industry that's struggling to rebuild after reaching a cow herd reached its smallest levels in more than six decades. It's really struggling to rebuild because a cow-calf man can sell a calf for $250 per hundredweight, or he can hang on to that heifer and wait for 2 years before he gets any income off of that heifer. And so it's been too tempting, particularly for many of the older cow-calf men who are nearing retirement, to go ahead and take the income rather than wait. And so it's been very slow trying to rebuild the cow herd. Whereas the pork industry is showing signs now of getting a handle on the PED virus, it is still a problem, but we have two vaccines for which we have conditional approval on that are providing a couple tools for us to try to manage the disease. A third is said to be close at hand. And so the industry is feeling more confident it's going to be able to expand and fill that gap filled in by the tight beef supplies. Overall, meat supplies are going to be tight, particularly as we go deeper into the fourth quarter this year. And frankly, I don't think we'll have enough beef to meet that demand. The question is, what price will ration that demand for beef? Will it be prices above where we're at now, or will a slowdown in the economy actually make it prices that are lower than where we are now? My bias is that it's going to be a little bit higher than what we are now, but that's something the market's going to have to work through and over the next several months.
In the meantime, what are we looking at in the livestock markets in the more immediate future?
In the more immediate future, I think the hog market is found an area of value right now. This is the time when we're filling in the hole from the PED virus earlier in the year, hole in supplies. But right now, because of the higher carcass weights, supply and demand seem to have a pretty good balance right now. And so we're seeing the cash market pretty flat, and that's getting the futures market into a choppy sideways pattern as well. When we look at the beef industry, the packers are doing a much better job of contracting and gaining control of the supply, so they're not having to go to the negotiated market each week. Last week we saw slaughter numbers drop down to 562,000. That was our smallest non-holiday week's schedule for slaughter that we've seen since March. That's holding up product values. That's helping hold up the cash value. At the same time, the packers not having to fight with each other over as many supplies because they're doing a better job of contracting. They're offering basis contracts out there the December and February period, trying to reach ahead and trying to get control of supplies there, suggesting that they don't have real good confidence that we're going to have enough numbers. That, in essence, is providing support in the near term. So every time we go up to new highs and the funds start getting cold feet and sell off, there's support underneath of the market. So for now, the trend continues to be higher.
And with these lower cattle numbers, and although the hog numbers have been lower, they have been a little bit more steady. Do you know if we've seen some closures of packing plants?
There have been the closure of a couple packing plants because the numbers simply aren't there. And that's an unfortunate situation because we may never get those packing plants back. One of my concerns is with these high prices, if we need to ration a demand, but it takes a long time then to bring that demand back. It may take quite a bit lower prices to do so once we do start to rebuild the cow herd. So we're going to pay a price for this, but for now, the cattle industry is enjoying the profits.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two, coming up after this.
Long-term care due to an accident, disability, or chronic illness can be expensive, and these services are not typically covered by health insurance or Medicare. That's why it's so important to have a long-term care policy from Country Life Insurance Company. It can help pay the costs associated with long-term care and help protect your retirement savings. There are a variety of options available, so contact me, Wayne Schaefer, your Country Financial representative in Jerseyville today. Country Financial, what's your ideal financial security? Give us a call at 618-498-5800.
What are people saying about Illinois Farm Bureau? Just listen to David Brigeman, Macoupin County farmer, businessman, and Farm Bureau member.
After making trips to Washington, D.C., I've recognized the need to communicate to legislators what the needs in rural America are and the importance of agriculture in the American economy. My eyes have been open to such issues, which is why I've become an advocate for Farm Bureau.
The value? Legislative activities watching out for your interests. Call Macoupin County Farm Bureau and ask about value. Illinois Farm Bureau, where membership means value.
Carlinville Truck Equipment makes industrial rollback equipment loaders, and because of this, they have the equipment and expertise to fix or fabricate just about anything metal around your business or farm. If you need truck or trailer repair, hoist or winch service, custom fabrication, or stock metal, call Carlinville Truck Equipment at 217-854-6706 or log on to ctemi.com. Carlinville Truck Equipment, 217-854-6706.
The Illinois Crop and Weather Report was released. Rainfall continued throughout the state last week and still continues to delay harvest. Isolated hail was reported in the east-southeast district. Statewide precipitation averaged 0.54 inches, in line with normal precipitation. There was 4.1 days suitable for field work for the week ending October 12th. The average temperature was 54.2 degrees, 1.8 degrees below normal. Corn mature reached 94% compared to the five-year average of 89%. Corn harvest was 35% complete, up 12 percentage points from last week. Corn condition remained at 83%, good to excellent. Soybeans dropping leaves reached 91%, slightly behind the five-year average of 92%. Soybean harvest was 29% complete, compared with the five-year average of 52%. Soybean condition remained at 79%, good to excellent. Sorghum mature reached 84% and sorghum harvest was 26% complete. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 5% poor, 24% fair, 52% good, and 18% excellent. Topsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 5% short, 70% adequate, and 24% surplus. Subsoil moisture supply was rated at 1% very short, 9% short, 79% adequate, and 11% surplus. Farmers and ranchers should take care during the harvest season. Todd Gleason has more on one of the nation's most dangerous jobs and the number one cause of injuries on the typical row crop farm.
If you think about it for just a moment, you can probably guess what the number one cause of injuries is on the farm. Without a doubt, says University of Illinois Extension Farm Safety Specialist Baba Heron, it's machinery.
Well, the number one injury, not necessarily fatality, is getting caught in moving machinery components. We're trying to make some kind of adjustment or unplugging a machine, and we get caught in it. We really should be shutting the equipment down whenever we do any kind of close interaction with the machine because of the risk of getting entangled or caught in some component of it.
Putting your hand or foot in a moving machine is a good way to lose it. Please, please shut that machine down before trying to fix it. And farmers and their employees should not, for a moment, think their lives aren't at risk during the harvest season. 500 to 800 people die every year in farm accidents. Baba Heron says some of those happen later in the year when producers are working to empty grain bins, but not all of them.
The other kind of area of fatalities is on the roadway. When we're moving our equipment on the road, and usually the fatalities occur occasionally to farmers, but the other driving public who run into the back of our wagons, combines, field cultivators. And it's very important that we drive defensively, that we make sure, first of all, we recommend not having our equipment, moving equipment at night if at all possible. The risk is much higher because it's harder for people to see us and see how wide we are. But if whenever we're moving, day or night, that we make sure we have flashing lights on our equipment so people can more readily see us. That dramatically increases person's recognition of you. We must have a good SMV emblem, too, so that in Illinois, it requires an emblem that meets American Society of Ag and Biological Engineering standards. It's, you know, kind of a technical term, but 276.4 or greater, because or 0.5 or greater, that emblem is a newer emblem that's visible at 1,000 feet, and that's required to be on all farm equipment in Illinois as of 2004 when we're moving on a public roadway. The older emblems are only visible at 400 feet.
On the subject of roadways, traffic needs about 1,000 feet of warning to avoid a slow-moving vehicle, front and back. On curvy roads, the only way to accomplish this is to have a lead and trailing vehicle. And one final note, this one on tractors. Only half of the farm tractors used in the United States are equipped with life-saving rollover protective structures with seat belts. Safety, it's not just something to think about. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
In honor of October being National Pork Month, we are giving away pork certificates courtesy of the Illinois Pork Producers Association. If you would like to enter to win a pork certificate, you can email me at angela@wsmiradio.com. In the meantime, here's a fun fact about pork. During the War of 1812, a New York pork packer named Uncle Sam Wilson shipped a boatload of several hundred barrels of pork to U.S. troops. Each barrel was stamped U.S. on the docks, and it was quickly said that U.S. stood for Uncle Sam, whose large shipment seemed to be enough to feed the entire army. This is how Uncle Sam came to represent the U.S. government. Again, if you would like to enter to win pork certificates sponsored by the Illinois Pork Producers Association, you can email me at angela@wsmiradio.com. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.